everybody. This is John Tatey welcoming you back to Pop Mom, the podcast where culture is relative. Yes, it's time again for my mom, Bonnie Tatey, to share her view of pop culture, small town life, and the riddles of human nature. On this episode, we discuss the classic sports quiz show, Stump the Schwab. I almost said Stump the Chumps. Remember that on Car Talk?
Yeah.
Stump the Schwab is what we're talking. We should do Car Talk sometime. That would be good.
Let's do Car Talk.
Anyhow, let's bring Mom in now. She's already here. You can hear her.
Yes.
How's it going, Mom?
Everything is going really great. Really.
Oh?
Well, that's a complete lie. But, you know, things are going. Things are going.
Yeah. How's things in the old neighborhood?
Well, a couple things. We lost a guinea pig. That was pretty sad, but he was eight. And
oh, that's a good run.
It really is a good run. It really is. And I don't really know how old he was when I got him. But they're delightful little animals that everybody thinks is a good starter pet. And then they lose interest very quickly. But if you take time, they have person.
I didn't.
No, you did not. You didn't. But, you know, we ended up with 14. So there was a lot of people that did not embrace the whole experience.
Yeah. Well, even once it got to 14,
I had checked out
at that point. Yeah.
I felt bad for them. But anyway, he was a very nice boy. And Jenna helped bury him yesterday. So.
That's nice.
It was nice. It was nice. But here's a situation also that came up this week.
Wait, before we move on from the guinea pigs, who's the other one who was living in that pen with him?
Belichick, Belly.
Belly. So, you know, they never, you know, they coexisted and got along okay,
yes.
But they never seemed like the best of friends. They seemed a little annoyed by the presence of the other. So have you noticed any change in Belly's behavior now that his roommate is gone?
Yes, I have. He's acting like King of the Hill, which I think is a little disgusting, but, you know, he is what he is. Now, when Mookie was passing, they did lay next to each other for, you know, warmth and whatever they, you know, they were like the odd couple.
Yeah, yeah. Remember when that one guinea pig was ailing way back in the day and Moxie,
the dog,
would lay down next to them?
Yeah. Yeah, they know. These animals know. They're very, you know, if you're in tune, if you get in tune with it, and I don't think it takes all that much, but they are just.
Yeah.
They're just wonderful. They're wonderful.
They're able to perceive things that we don't entirely understand.
Yes. Yes.
All right, proceed.
All right. Well, in the same vein, our family being as estranged and together and all the ingredients of a family. Due to a situation with my cousin who lives in the next town, we stopped speaking a number of years ago due to something that my father didn't leave them or whatever. I'll tell you, people, if you have money, use it up. Use it up, use it up, use it up. Because leaving it to families just causes nothing but trouble.
An inheritance dispute, and basically you got something that the cousins wanted, and
right.
So that is the source of this grievance, is that right?
Yes.
Ugh, okay.
Yes, which I paid for.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I know the details. Okay. But yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. So
we can't get into all the details, I know them, and I'm on your side.
So I Google him from time to time because he worked someplace, and I certainly had no hard feelings. My attitude is, your dad didn't leave me anything, and anyway, I Googled his wife, and she had passed away last year. And
oh, geez.
Yeah, I knew she had a type of blood cancer, and he had said, I saw him in a store years ago, and He said it'll get her in the end. And it did get her in the end. But she was very lovely. She was really funny and just a really, really nice person. Anyway, she passed away last year. And I thought, what do you do in a situation like this? You know, I don't have any anger. I never did have any anger. And I would just like to say, I'm sorry. So I reached out, I emailed my cousin because he wanted to.
Just to clarify, you want to express your condolences, right. You mean?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just to say I'm sorry and what a bright light she was and just a little something, you know, not
mm-hmm.
because I feel like this was her life. And while we were estranged, I still would like to put out in the universe that, I don't know. Anyway, I really wanted to say something. And mm-hmm. I happened to have his email because he had contacted me. I don't know when exactly. Yeah. And I just said those things. And then I didn't hear back. And I thought, that's okay, too. Because
of course
you have your feelings. And I'm a year late, for God's sake. But then I did hear back from him. And he said a very simple thank you. And she was good to my dad. And that was all he said, those two lines. And so I thought, well, I felt good about what I did, but he left it awkward again.
Because you think that she was good to Boo. We can say your father's name, right?
Yeah.
So you think there was an implication of, boy, she was so good to your dad and we didn't get anything out of it.
Well, they did.
Is that
though.
What you're saying?
They did. Yes.
Well, I know they did, but they wanted more.
Right.
So he did at least.
Yeah.
So you think there was a little.
Well, I'm not
something
sure.
Behind that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's an odd thing to say.
I thought so too. And I'm glad to have your take on it since you know the players a bit and the situation. But, you know, by the same token, when my brother, who I don't speak to, when his son passed away, I thought, I have to say something to somebody. You know, this is a child that I babysat and held and whatever. And I did send a card to his ex-wife, who he's still friends with, because I didn't think he would want to hear from me, my brother.
Yeah.
And I never.
So you sent a note to
his mother.
Your nephew's mother.
Yeah. And I never heard back from her. But, you know, I'm just wondering, in a situation that's sticky, what is the right thing to really do? Because really, those reach outs were for me. I wanted to reach out.
Well, I don't think they were so selfish in that respect. No, I think you did the right thing. And I think it's also the right attitude to say, hey, whatever comes back or doesn't.
Is fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one of those.
I've been wondering about something similar to this recently.
Oh.
Because as you may remember, one of the writers on my TV show died a couple of years after the show went off the air, maybe three or four years after, but like 3 years ago. And it really hit me hard. She was so young and was such a hero to that show.
Yeah.
Really coming in and injecting that tiny staff with a boost of energy in the middle. I just found it so unjust that she was taken from us. I think my lowest moment came when I got an email from some kid who had helped me out with a few projects, sort of like a hanger-on, I don't know, like an intern type character. And he wrote to tell me about a memorial event that was held for Sam Berkman was her name. And he wrote me about it the day after. and told me about how wonderful it was. And oh, her parents were there and they really wished you could have been there. And I was so devastated. Nobody told me.
Right. Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like the Chicago comedy community is just full of young dipshits who wouldn't think of such a thing.
Right.
And it happened so fast, like it happened before I could know about it. And I was so upset to have missed it, and so upset as a parent that I wasn't there to speak to her parents, you know,
right.
And tell them how wonderful
yes.
she was to this big project. I was thinking about her lately and thinking, like, if I should track down her parents and send them a letter telling them about their daughter and what, you know, what she was like on this show and what she did for us. And I feel like they would want to know that, but I don't know. So what do you think?
I think they would be delighted to still know that someone is thinking about their daughter and has such fond memories of her. That's what I think. I think they would be just tickled to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I'll do it. I think I finally have the strength to do
yes.
it.
Uh-huh.
It still
hurts.
It still makes me struggle
yeah.
to think of her. Yeah.
Yeah. And they would like
okay.
to know that, because, you know, I think after all the hoopla and the you know, the drinks and the cake and whatever, everybody goes home and starts their life again. And you
yeah.
don't really know, is anybody? I think it would be lovely.
Okay. Well, I will do that.
And
now,
I think
talk
it's...
about your coffee shop visit while I collect myself.
Okay. All right. Well, I there's two coffee shops uptown. One is very frou-frou and the other is more down to earth and friendlier. And that's the one I like. It's called Grounds. And, you know, the staff is just regular people, and it's a great place to grab a cup of coffee. And they have some baked goods that are always very, very good. And I was in there. I don't drink coffee usually, but
I was going to say, you're not much of a coffee
drinker.
I'm
not, but I do like a cup of coffee every once in a while. And I went in about 3 weeks ago, got a cup of coffee, and then went over to the station where you put your sugar and cream and all that in. It was a day when my allergies were really, really bad and my eyes were swollen. I just wanted something hot, really hot, so that I got the coffee. And then I took all my trash and I went over to the trash can that looks just like our trash can at home, silver. but it didn't have a step on it thing. And I okay. have experienced the ones where you wave your hand over it.
Wave at it. That's what I thought. It must be one of the wavers. Yeah.
So
but
I
no.
waved a few times. Nothing.
Just standing there waving at a trash can.
Yeah, like a nut. And so I just finally stuffed all my paper and stir stick in the edge of it. And I just said, okay, there you go. Well, I went back yesterday with Jenna and her friend Shannon to get another cup of coffee. And now on the trash can, there's a big sign that says, "This is not a trash can. This is an air conditioner."
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah.
It was a trashy atmosphere in that coffee shop for the rest of the day, thanks to you, huh?
Well, it was embarrassing. So here I am stuffing little...
You're lucky they didn't put your photo up on next to the register. Do not give coffee stirrers to this woman.
And I did see that they had, and I don't think this was there, but they had one of those little, you know, popcorn containers to put your trash in.
That's the trash can now?
I don't know. I didn't look around. I figured, you know, hey, I'll put my trash in the trash can and see you later. Only it wasn't the trash can. You know, I'm at an age where I'm willing to accept that there's things that and even before, but there's things I don't know how to operate. I'm not of the computerized age. You know, so there's the toaster has 8 buttons on it, and you can do it a little more. This is what you push for bagels. There's just a lot. Everything is a lot. We have a toaster oven that we've had it for over a year now, and I can't use it because I don't understand it. I can't read anything on it. And I would use it. I would, you know, just a couple baked potatoes. Okay. Use the toaster oven. I don't know. So I'm willing to accept that I'm out of the loop, but you know, if your air conditioner really does look like a trash can, I'm going to use it as a trash can.
I have a trash can in my, I do the podcast and I work in a little studio apartment near our house, right?
Yeah.
And so my office has a kitchen, basically, and I have an aquarium in there, and I have a trash bucket, like a hefty whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What the brand is, you know,
plastic,
rugged, yeah, plastic,
yeah,
or rubber, maybe, whatever it is.
Yeah, let's plug
big
them
trash
all.
Bucket. Yeah, we're not showing any preference
no.
for trash bucket makers. We are ecumenical when it comes to the trash buckets. But this trash barrel is often filled with water because it's where I let the new water sit before I do a water change,
yeah.
right? So you take half the water out of the tank and then you fill it back up again, and all the fish and plants are happy. But so often there will be a trash barrel full of water next to the sink in the kitchen. And I have my Simpsons trivia here on Fridays. And one night or one morning after a Simpsons trivia night, I go out to the barrel and there's like a half empty bag of potato chips and like a beer bottle in there because somebody thought it was trash.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, didn't they hear the splash? Like, if they didn't even see when they took the lid off that it was filled with water, like,
they mention it to you. Hey, you might have a leak out here or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, unfortunately, like, because it's water to go in the aquarium, it has to be, you know, clean.
Right.
So I had to empty out the bucket, like pump all the water out of the bucket down the drain and clean it out with a towel. Oh, and so I thought, you should put a sign on this.
Yes.
So that people know it's not trash. This is what your story made me think of.
I know I know where you can get a sign like that. I could go to.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to put a sign on it.
Oh, no.
But last time I had Simpsons trivia, one of the players during a break, she said, hey, John, where's your trash? I took the lid off this bin here, but it's all full of water. And I said, oh, the trash is over here under the sign that says trash. There is a sign on the trash can that says trash is here, but there's not a sign on the trash. But I thought it was fine. God damn, the next morning I open up the barrel and somebody tossed their leftover lime after they made themselves a cocktail.
Oh,
in it. Oh, and I was like, oh, a lime. I can't put lime water in the fish's tank.
No.
So I had to do it again. So yeah, you got to put a sign on the thing you don't want people to touch. All the signs directing people to the trash are useless. You have
absolutely
to tell them, no, get away. I sympathize with the coffee shop this story, as I know you do.
Well, I do, but I'm also, you know, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because that was a situation where I just assumed it was beyond me, and it really wasn't.
It is embarrassing.
How many Twizzlers do you have left?
Red Vines, you mean? Don't say Twizzlers.
Oh,
you're never going to get a bucket of Red Vines that way.
Wow.
Nope. Oh, you're off the list now.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, I have all the Red Vines left because I don't like them. You might have trouble getting your bucket now, too.
Well, you've certainly sealed that deal for me, haven't you? Wow. All right. All right. Fine.
But I love my custom Red Vines bucket. And I like Red Vines as a cultural property. You know, like I find them charming and kitsch.
You know, I've never had one. Why is that funny?
Because just a couple episodes ago, you were lobbying to have your own bucket of them. And we've just destroyed that possibility in every respect. You've never had them. I don't like them.
What do they taste like?
They taste like Twizzlers, mostly. They taste a little different.
Is the texture the same? Because they are shaped a little differently, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The texture is pretty much the same, I think. I don't know.
Well, you're not a candy connoisseur like I am, but I don't even think I've ever seen Red Vines in the store.
No, they're not always available.
All right. Well, this.
Well, we've certainly covered Red Vines in glory in this brief interlude here. Okay, one last quick story before we get to the review. I wonder what the listeners would do in this situation. I told you about this already, Mom, but act surprised.
I will.
When I tell it again for the podcast here. I went to get some clothes at the department store, Bloomingdale's to be specific. And I try on a pair of pants and I reach into the pocket and there's something in there and I pull it out and it's $45 in cash. And then I reach into the other pocket and there's a piece of paper and I pull it out and I'm like, oh, darn, this piece of paper is going to tell me who this $45 belongs to. So I'll be obligated to return it. But the piece of paper was just a shopping list, like a drugstore shopping list for like alcohol and rubbing alcohol, rather. And what else was like bandages? I don't know. Maybe someone got into an accident on the way to the department store. But I thought briefly. Should I tell someone at Bloomingdale's here? And then immediately thought, no, what are they going to do with it? They're just going to
put it in their purse. That's,
yeah. So I got an instant rebate, basically, on my shopping that day. And I feel like that is the nature of cash. Like, if you lose it, sorry. And that's one of the nice features of it, actually, is that it's anonymous. But one of the problems with it is you can't get it back if you lose it. What would you have done? And also, I wonder if any listeners have any theories as to how $45 in cash ended up in these pants. Do you think they were returned or do you think they were tried on and he put his stuff in the pockets and then forgot?
I really feel like somebody took them home, wore them once and brought them back. I really do feel that way because, you know, you've said that you change your accessories sometimes to see how your wallet will affect the
that's right
the
like if I'm trying on a pair of pants I'll put my wallet and my phone and keys in there to see
but this is just cash. This is just
went out it's for not a night. Your daily carry
right.
stuff
that's right yeah. He just went out with the guys, he has his shopping list, and it cost him $45 to wear those pants for a night, so
he thought it would cost him nothing.
There you go. I mean, that's just. But let me ask you this, Johnny.
Yeah.
What point would you, you know, fess up?
You mean how much money or?
Yes.
I think if it were cash, maybe this makes me a bad person. Like, if it were cash, there's no amount.
Okay. All right. Because
if you left cash in your pants, I'm sorry. That's not my, you know. It's not my responsibility to turn into Sherlock Holmes and figure out what happened here. Like, I'm idly wondering, but that's on you.
Well, you know, here's what I'm wondering now. Can I go down to Concord and sell this to all the men that walk down the street and put their fingers in the parking meter chutes to see if the quarters didn't land?
Still see people do that? Come on.
I do. Maybe they should just be going to the department stores and checking all the pants out.
Well, you know, as soon as I slipped out of those pants, I said, hey, can I see every other 33 waist pant you've got in the store? Just to try every single one of them on. I should have just been gone through the store, putting my hands in the pockets. That's what I should
what
have done.
Saying. I'm going
to
sell that idea to all those men.
I see. I get it now. Yeah, I should have treated the pants like the parking meters. Yeah. Okay, well, let me know what you think of that story if you care to. popmom@ological.net is the email address. But now let's move on to our review. This week, Mom and I are talking about Stump the Schwab. Originally airing for 4 seasons in the mid-2000s on the ESPN family of networks, each episode of Stump the Schwab pitted 3 sports trivia nerds against Howie Schwab, an ESPN researcher and human sports encyclopedia. Stuart Scott, one of the greats from the golden era of ESPN SportsCenter, hosts the show and plays gentle foil to Schwab, who is probably among the least telegenic ESPN personalities and therefore an endearing character to take center stage on this faux macho but actually friendly competition. The sports fanatics who compete on the show are astonishingly knowledgeable, but more often than not, the Schwab is even better, and he sends the challengers home humbled. After Howie Schwab died last month at the age of 63, Mom and I decided to revisit his glorious time in a spotlight built just for him. Here's a clip.
All right, Chris, we're going to start with you and then go on down the line. Between 2002 and 2005, including those years, 22 major leaguers hit at least 40 home runs in a season. Name them.
Barry Bonds.
Correct. Kevin.
Alex Rodriguez.
Correct. Brian.
Mark Teixeira.
Correct. Schwab.
Albert Pujols.
Correct.
Many episodes of Stump the Schwab are available on YouTube. That's where we watched it. Mom, does the Schwab make your heart throb, or is he just a slob?
Oh, no, not at all. I actually love this show.
I thought you might.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you the reasons are not that. I mean, they're about as significant as the show is, but I love a competition. Right. And I can't really compete in this because the knowledge, the useless knowledge that all these men have, and it was just shocking to me, the multitude of answers that they had in their head and the statistics they can remember. Crazy. I was most shocked that so many of them were married.
Yeah. Well, presumably they have other charms and talents besides memorizing endless sports facts.
Well, you've got to be looking and reading a lot of sports to have all this knowledge. It's very simple. It's a very simple concept. It's three expert regular people against this Howie Schwab. I mean, what a name, right? Was he made for this?
It's a perfect, yes.
It's perfect.
Nobody could look more like Howie Schwab than Howie Schwab does. Yeah.
It's just perfect. There's just enough bro nonsense, which is not very much. And it's all sports facts that they are competing against Howie. There's no trumpets. There's no glitter. There's no yelling and screaming. It would, you know, if you said to yourself, hey, let's do this Friday night at my house, it would be too lame. But it but it works. It really works. And I loved Stuart Scott. I thought he was just such a professional.
Yeah. He's excellent as host of this show. Yeah. You know, he gives it to the players a little bit, you know, sticks them in the rib a little bit, but it's always friendly and it's always this sort of like locker room. I don't know, that term makes it sound much more aggro than
and there's
it is.
None
but
of
it's
that.
This, it's buddy buddy, maybe is a better way to put it.
But the competitors all have suits on. They look very nice. So it isn't like barroom.
No, and I think that it's a cheap production. It's a very early 2000s basic cable production, which is, you know, the milieu where I got my start, right? Working for The Daily Show.
Right.
So I know from cheap cable productions. I really admire I think it's a refined production for what it is.
Yeah.
They borrow from Millionaire, which launched 100 cheap game shows by revealing that with a few music stings and some lights that sweep through a grid and create an interesting pattern, you can make something feel very epic. Like, it has a lot of, even though it's in this little room,
right,
and it feels somewhat claustrophobic, they give it a bit of the millionaire touch to make it feel somewhat like a game show. But I just also think a lot of the styling choices are spot on. Schwab sits there in a jersey, you know, he has a different jersey on every time, but he just looks like the slob holding court at the bar when the hockey game is on.
Right.
And I think it's an inspired stroke to, yes, they essentially dress the contestants as Sports Center anchors.
Yes.
You know, they're dressed just like Stuart Scott. So it's the suits versus the schlubby fan visually, right? And it helps you to root for the Schwab. I mean, he's just, like I said, he's just endearing in himself.
He really
so
is.
It's not that hard. And you are like rooting for the players, but you don't mind that the Schwab pretty much always.
Right. And I think in the end, you're sort of rooting for everyone, which is fun.
Yeah.
And the,
yeah,
the prize money is very minimal.
Yeah.
So it isn't even about the money. It really is about how much do you know about sports?
Yep.
And you know, to me, it's what life should be like. It doesn't need to be, yada, yada, yeah, you know, that it's just simple. It's
very human and down to earth. The game is, yeah. You know what I forgot? Cause I don't think I'd seen it since the 2000s. I forgot how seriously Howie takes the competition,
yeah, oh,
in particular that final round where he faces off against the one contestant left standing. He has nothing to gain. Like, it's not like Win Ben Stein's Money, where the premise is, you know, even though the format is very similar,
yeah,
it's not the same, where the premise is that, like, the guy gets the money if you don't win it from him. Like, Howie doesn't get anything,
right?
if they don't win it. But he still, you would think he was playing for his life, the way he pumps his fist and just, you know,
yeah,
says, not like rubbing,
yeah,
into people's face, but to himself. He's like, yes, when he pulls one out.
Did you see, I watched one of the, I'll just say championship, because I'm really not sure.
I saw that one.
When he,
yeah,
came out in the red robe. Did you see?
With the ladies on,
yeah,
either side, like a boxing champ. Yeah. He was in his element, as he should be. I mean, it was built for him, right?
Right.
But, God, he loved that. And you could tell the production loved him.
You know why? Because he just wasn't a jerk. He didn't.
No,
he just
he
stayed himself. He didn't. He wasn't big headed. He wasn't arrogant. He was just there to do the simple job of answering more trivia than the other fellas did. Did they ever have women on there?
I haven't seen an episode with,
okay,
a woman on it. No, I don't know. There were 80 episodes all told, and I haven't seen all of them, so I don't know.
Well, you know what? I've seen 4 more of them than I ever thought I'd watch. Because I kept going. It's really fun.
Yeah. You and I also both watched, and I think we can recommend a brief, it's like 3 minutes, but it's a remembrance,
yes,
of Howie Schwab by Dan Patrick, his colleague, and it gives you a little insight into Howie's actual job, which was researcher. And I don't know if that was his title, but that was
what
you call
up
that job on a production.
They also said producer, so I don't know what he produced.
Yeah, I think, well, when someone's been around long enough, you give them a producer title because it comes with a pay bump. I started at The Daily Show and my title was researcher, and I certainly did a lot of research and was expected to have facts at my fingertips on the topics I was working on. But the show did have an actual head researcher. I was only called a researcher so that they didn't have to pay me a producer salary.
Yeah.
As I came to learn later in life, that's how these things work. When I was young and naive, they could take advantage of me, and they did.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say that with no ill will or anything, just like that's how it works.
That's how it works, yep.
But there was someone who really did the researcher job, and he was like the Schwab of modern day American politics. And boy, I wish I could remember his name now, but he was like a mascot in the office just because he was the human encyclopedia. And I think that's a great, I think that's a great role. I hope that it's not dying in the era of artificial intelligence.
Mm, yeah.
I don't think it needs to. I'm reminded of a Katharine Hepburn movie called Desk Set. Have you ever seen this one?
No.
Might be a good one for the podcast, actually. But the premise is that Katharine Hepburn and her colleague are librarians at a big corporation, and they run the company's like a reference library, extremely good at their job. And then one day an IBM type company comes in and installs a big computer that's basically going to do their job for them. And the moral of the story in the end is you can't really replicate an expert human,
right,
no matter how hard you might try. Right. I still feel that's true. That movie was made like 80 years ago, but I think even in today's era, it applies. And boy, I'll take a guy like Howie Schwab over the ChatGPT any day.
There you go. I agree with you. I agree. Now, they did, in my research, they did also mention Sports Jeopardy, which I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that didn't last very long. Sports Jeopardy. Yeah, remember, they had Rock and Roll Jeopardy, too.
Oh, I didn't know that one either.
For a bit. Yeah, they tried these other Jeopardies. Jep, that was the kids' Jeopardy. Oof. Mm. That was the worst of all, I think.
Well, let me just tell you, I can't wait to watch this with Daddy, because I think he'll be more interested in it. Although I was surprisingly interested. The other thing with it is that if you're trying to play along, it's a long time ago, too.
Yeah, I mean, all the sports facts are 20 years right. old, at least, right?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So that makes it a little tricky. But, man, I would get a bag of Cheetos and watch this for a couple of hours.
Yep. There's a bunch of them on YouTube. It's not hard to find. Mom, what is your grade for Stump the Schwab?
I'm going to give it an A. You know, a lot of the players with the questions and whatever are gone, but it was nice to remember them all. So I enjoyed that part of it, too. Oh, yeah.
A lot of the athletes, you mean, who were mentioned in the questions? Yeah.
So I enjoyed that just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say that right? Because I don't want that to sound like stupid. Like,
no, we get it. Okay. We get it. Yeah. There used to be a feature on old Deadspin called Let's Remember Some Guys. And the premise was just that they talk about a football player who, you know, was kind of mid tier and doesn't come up very much, but hey, let's remember this guy for a second. So it's kind of that spirit.
Okay.
Watching it too. Yeah.
There's lots to like about this.
Do you have a recommendation this week?
I do. It's short. You've probably already read it or had it read to you. I'm going to recommend, since it's been a bit of a trying week, The Little Prince, which is quite a precious story about a stranded pilot who meets a little creature that the two of them start a journey and discover what life is all about.
The Little Prince by, I don't have it in front of me, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I'm sure I mangled that, but we all know The Little Prince. This is a story that I think works well to return to every 10 years or so in your life, because it will read differently the more life you have lived, and it has... it's one of those stories whose meaning grows with you, I think.
I think that's perfect. That's perfect. Thank you.
Well, if it's perfect, we better leave it right there. That'll do it for this edition of Pop Mom. This episode of the podcast, rather, was edited by Scott Jones. Thank you, Scott. Mom and I will be back soon to talk about more pop culture. What should we talk about, Mom? Any ideas?
Something interesting.
Something interesting. You'll hear it here. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. I'm going to underline that. It's important and it helps. Tell your friends about Pop Mom. We love to get email, too. It's popmom@ological.net. What would you do if you found $45 in the pants, but if you have found $4,500 in your pants pocket, let's up the stakes while trying on pants at Bloomingdale's. Talk to us about anything, though. You don't got to talk to us about pants. We love you. Mom and I will talk to you again next week. Bye for now, Mom.
Bye, Johnny. I love you.
Love you too.